Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. On this podcast, our goal is just to simply show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we just hope that you're helped by this current series from the book of Joshua. What we've called it is Don't Be Afraid to Follow God. So let's just take a second, sit back, and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode. We've been talking about those Gibeonites and their plan to get Israel to accept them, or at least not to kill them, and it worked. And I know it's kind of messy, but at the end of the day, I do have some respect for the Gibeonites and their view of God, their perspective of God. And then I also can see some principles about leadership needing to trust God, to ask God for directions, even when we think we know the way. So some great lessons from last chapter. But today we're in chapter 10. And we talked briefly at the beginning of last episode about the fact that the neighboring city states are really becoming nervous because Joshua and the people have been successful. And what we find back in chapter 10 is that the people are back at Gilgal. So Gilgal is along the Jordan Plain. So they are not too far from present day Jerusalem. It would be like a day's walk, but all uphill. And what's interesting about that is chapter 10 references Jerusalem. Now, remember, you know, Hannah, I know you and I have spent some time in Jerusalem together. It's such a fascinating place.
Beautiful, beautiful city. And you almost feel like you're put back 2,000 years ago because so much of it is so old.
Right. That's right. And you, I mean, you can stand on the steps from Solomon's temple 3,000 years ago. So, I mean, it's just, it is amazing. But this was long before that. So this is, we know Jerusalem is built on Mount Moriah. So this is where Abraham offered Isaac. So there is history there. But Jerusalem does not become part of Israel, not even in the conquest. Jerusalem doesn't become a part of Israel until many years later when David takes it. So that's way later than this. So at this point, it's just it's a really well-fortified city-state. And you and I were practicing pronouncing this name before the podcast. Now, it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, is that what we decided was the pronunciation?
Your guess is as good as mine because...
Let me just give some advice to you that ever read the Bible publicly. No one else knows how to pronounce these names either. So what you do is you just say what you say confidently.
That's
so Adonai Zedek, the king of Jerusalem. And what happened is this king got nervous. And in verse 3, he forms a coalition with four other kings whose names I equally cannot pronounce. And they decide that they're going to fight against not Joshua. And that's the interesting thing about Joshua chapter 10. You would think that their fear that caused them to unite would make them then attack Joshua. But they don't do that. You know who they attack?
Who?
Gibeon. So now Gibeon, it's kind of like, Gibeon, you guys were one of us.
They felt betrayed, even though they weren't necessarily allies before. They did feel betrayed that they did not join them.
Right. So now you're going to unite with these enemies that are invading our country. We're going to take care of you. So it's almost like, and I don't know if I'm reading too much into this, but my takeaway is this. You know, sometimes people can't hurt you, so they're going to hurt the people that are with you. Like I can't hurt you, but I'm going to hurt the people you love. That's a pretty insidious thing to do. I think that's what the devil does. You know, the devil can't do anything to impugn the character of God or to hurt him. I mean, God is omnipotent. And yet, what does the devil spend his time doing? Hurting the children of God. You know, because the way to get at somebody is to get at the people that they're with. And so now the Gibeonites are part of Israel now, in the sense that they're their servants, they've accepted them. They might still be stinging a little bit from the deception, but there's a covenant that exists there. So now that these kings have united to fight against Gibeon, we can handle them. We can't handle Joshua. We can handle them. That's kind of a cowardly thing to do. But now that they've done that and Gibeon realizes it, what does Gibeon do? What would you do?
I would ask Joshua for help. They're kind of a package deal now. Like you said, they've made this covenant. So if you're going to attack Joshua or Gibeon at this point, you're really attacking both of them. Kind of like if you're going to pick on my sibling, you're messing with me.
Right,
like
right.
You're going to answer
not,
to me.
I might not like my brother, but I tell you what, you're not allowed to not like him.
As soon as you pick on him, that's not okay.
That's a really good illustration because that's what Gibeon does. Exactly what you just said. They call for help based upon the strength of the covenant. And I see such a great New Testament example there. We're under the new covenant. Our salvation is contingent upon the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And so now we have this relationship with God when we're at once enemies, but we sued for peace. And the grounds of that peace was the cross of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made for us. And so now we come to God for help, not because we deserve it. The Gibeonites didn't deserve it, but we come to God for help on the basis of the covenant because there's a promise, and that promise is based upon the goodness of the promiser. So the Gibeon does call for help based upon the strength of the covenant. It's the way we pray. We pray not based upon, Lord, I've done really well today, so bless me. No, we come to God in Jesus' name. We come on the basis of the covenant, on the basis of our relationship with him. We come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because of the covenant that God has made with us.
That's a perfect picture.
So the Gibeonites do that. They basically send this messenger to Joshua and say, help, you know, help. So what does Joshua do? Well, Joshua, that's Jesus' name in the Old Testament, by the way, Joshua. Joshua honors the covenant, just like Jesus honors our prayers. And the Bible says in verse 6, the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly. Save us. That's the way I pray. God, answer my prayer right now. And help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal. That's the only way you can go from Gilgal is up, because it's along the Jordan River plain, which is this lowest spot in the world. Where the Jordan River empties into the Dead Sea. That's the lowest spot on earth. So you have to go up from there. So he ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, all the mighty men of valor. Here's the verse I really want you to see, Hannah. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. So it's interesting. They get ready. We're going to honor our word. We're going to honor this covenant. And God said, I'm with you.
And he went above and beyond their request. Their request mainly was just, hey, can you guys help us out in this battle? And God said, I'm not only going to give you numbers, I'm going to let
give you
win.
Victory.
I'm going to give you victory. And that so often that happens. We ask the Lord to help in some way in our life. And he said, I'm not only going to help you, I'm going to do above and beyond what you ask, what you could ask, ever ask or think.
No, that's a great reference. In other words, act upon what you know, and God's going to meet you at your point of extremity and continue to bless. And that's what he does here. So the way the story unfolds is that Joshua comes to them and suddenly he came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. So you talk about not waiting. You talk about honoring that request. They don't even wait for the morning light. They go up at night, probably for two reasons. Number one, there was an immediacy that they want to act upon it immediately. And then number two, I think they want to do it surreptitiously. How do you like that word?
There you go.
Yeah.
It was one step up from neat.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Hannah. They'd want to do it secretly so that they're coming up to maybe get the element of surprise. So then the Bible says the Lord discomfited them before Israel. In other words, he was causing the Israelites to win and the other nations to lose. And he slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. So that's where they had gathered to defeat Gibeon. So they went and rescued the Gibeonites. And they chased them along the way that goeth up to Bet Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. Hannah, trivia question for you. Do you remember Azekah in our Holy Land trip?
To be completely honest, I don't think I do.
Okay, but you will, okay? Because it is kind of a footnote in the Bible.
Okay.
Azekah, it was a fortified city. As a matter of fact, it was one of the most important cities as far as from a military standpoint. In David's day, it was an outpost city. Right by the Philistines. So it had to be heavily fortified. And it was Azekah where the Israelites gathered, staged to fight the battle against Goliath. So,
oh, okay.
So you were
now
you
making the correlation. Yes.
Right. You stood on Azekah. So Azekah is right by the Valley of Elah. And it was that valley. It was really Ajalon, which is right there, that these kings ran. And the Bible says that Joshua and the people chase them to as far as Azekah. Why? They don't want them to get away. They're hoping that they're now out in the open. They're not in their enclaves. They're not in their respective cities. Remember, Jerusalem is one of the most heavily fortified places. It has natural fortifications. So he doesn't want them to get back to their city. He wants to capture them now while there's an opportunity. And there's a great teaching there is take advantage of your opportunities while they lay in front of you. So he's chasing. But, you know, they're making good headway. And I love what the Bible says about how God helped them because, and we'll end with this, but it says in verse 11, and it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Bet Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword.
I can't imagine what kind of hailstorm that would be.
I mean, can you imagine that?
Insane.
So, you know, the carnage aside, because that'd be a pretty gruesome picture, but think about how innovative our God is. You know, you never could have thought of that. I mean, Joshua didn't get on his knees and say, Lord, they're outrunning us right now. We're not going to catch up. Could you bring down hailstones? Who would ever think of that? It's kind of like, who would ever think of taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeding a multitude? Who would ever think of marching around a city and then the walls would come down? Who would ever think of just hold your staff up and watch God part an ocean? You know, God just does some really amazing things.
I was just thinking about that this morning. Just, I was actually listening to some of our podcasts that had already been released. And I'm not even sure what triggered the thought, but same thing. I mean, part of the proof of God and the Bible, just you can't come up with this stuff. And like you said, a hailstorm, it's not like he stopped and prayed for that. God, and it's no problem. It's no problem for him. He just
serving God is an exciting life. Just get busy following him, doing what he tells you to do. That's what Joshua is doing here. He's honoring a covenant. He's doing what's right. He's obeying the promise of God. And as he does that, God says, Joshua, I got your back. I got your back. And he's doing things for Joshua that Joshua never could have planned. He never could have envisioned. So many times, I can't speak for everybody, so I'll just speak for myself. So many times I think I know how God should work in my life.
Sounds like me.
Right. So I'll go to him in prayer and I'll tell him, okay, God, do this and this and this. And then sometimes I'm even so good to God that I'll give him options. I'll like, okay, God, you could do this, this, or this. And what I have found are the most amazing times in my life are when God has said, I'm not going to choose A, B, or C.
None of the above.
I'm choosing none of the above because I'm telling you something. Hailstones were none of the above, but it was just a unique way for our God to show himself strong in their lives. And today, as you're driving, as you're sitting, as you're reclining there in your lazy boy, or as you're exercising, however you're listening to this episode, I would just say to you, follow God, obey his promises, do what's right, and then watch for the amazing ways that God is going to work in your life. Be encouraged today, my friend. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.